happy month of May as we do this recording at the last day of May for AAA Physical Therapy's Collaboration Mindset for Health and Wellness. And though we want to be as positive here as much as possible, but unfortunately we had this situation again at Ellicott City, and to the listeners out there, hopefully you can go ahead and find ways to be able to provide support in one shape or form. And please make sure you go to the Howard County government website in order to help out, support these local and small businesses, which is what we are. And that's why we very much empathize with them. And so that's why, for example, one of the things that we do is we've already shared to them that we can go ahead and hold stress management classes or attend our yoga class at our clinic and help out in such a way. So again, thank you for providing support in that regard. And let's go ahead and get started with our program for this specific podcast. So I will introduce Mr. Steve Snellgrove, and he is the president of Howard County General Hospital, a position that he has held since 2013. His entire career has been in healthcare, including more than two decades at the Wake Forest Baptist Health System in North Carolina, where he held positions in operations and as president of two community hospitals. Steve is on the board of directors of the Howard County Economic Development Authority and is co-chairman of the Local Health Improvement Coalition. He leads the Behavioral Health Task Force of the Maryland Hospital Association. Steve is engineering a new model for healthcare in Howard County, with the hospital as a trusted partner in the overall care of the entire community. So, Mr. Snellgrove, again, we welcome you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's dig into this, as I know we have a lot of things to go ahead and talk about. As one of the leaders for health and wellness, what issues do you see currently and in the future here in Howard County or in the state of Maryland?
I'll even talk about the whole society, I guess, for a moment to start. Mm-hmm. I think what we've learned from our recent elections, that healthcare is just not affordable in its current form. And society has called upon healthcare providers to improve the quality of care, to improve the patient experience, while at the same time reducing the total cost of care in society. And so that's what we call the triple aim and really our mission as healthcare providers. I think what we've recognized as hospital leaders is that in order to do that, we just can't do it alone. We need partnerships. And the challenge that we face, not just in Maryland, but across the nation, where there are different models of reimbursement. Maryland has a unique reimbursement model from the rest of the states in the nation, is that we are a very siloed industry. We end up being functionally what is created by whatever the reimbursement system is. And so we do things that are in our own best interest, but that's not necessarily providing an extraordinary episode of care for a patient who ends up in an emergency room, maybe needs to be admitted, needs surgery, gets discharged, and wants to be back home up to their optimal functional level of ability. Mm-hmm. The hospital just is a small piece of that whole episode of care. And so I think we as leaders in healthcare have to identify the rest of the patient care episode, the patient care continuum, and then figure out how to align our incentives so that the patient and their wishes are at the center of everything that we do, not just the perspective of the doctor, the therapist, or the nurse. We have to integrate all of those expectations, align them with the patients, and making sure that we deliver an extraordinary experience.
Yes, no doubt. And again, it's apt with what our title is, the collaboration mindset, because we consider HCGs as big compared to us. But the thing here is, like what you mentioned, is that we all work together to provide this important information and change of lifestyle in order to be able to have a healthier society. And again, because unfortunately, like what you said, we're dependent with what the insurance dictate upon us. So there. And so what else do you want to go ahead and share with whatever issues that we're currently facing?
Maybe focus a little bit on what we're trying to do in Howard County, because Howard County is unique within the state of Maryland, and Maryland's unique within the nation in terms of how healthcare is structured and aligned. What you should know about reimbursement in Maryland is we are structured different than other states to really be in the business of health, wellness, and disease prevention, not just finding more patients to put into hospitals. It is aligned with society's expectations of creating value. And Howard County is unique because it is a planned community. There are many people who are actively involved in social service agencies who believe in health and wellness, but we still find ourselves sometimes not always aligned in coordinating the care for the patient, or on the wellness side, doing and promoting the things that we know will keep you out of the hospital and healthy. I mean, I can tell you, and you know these things yourself, how to eliminate 80% of disease. BMI of less than 25, 5 fruits and vegetables a day, you know, all of those things that we tell society all the time that we should be doing, but only a small percentage of our society does that. So we've got to figure out why that is and figure out how to partner effectively, because a lot of it is sometimes ability in terms of their cognitive and motivation. Some of it is just their social demographics. And so in Howard County, in our goal in population health is really to begin to pinpoint where the needs are, literally by zip code, and then make sure that the resources in the community are consistent with the needs. That sounds pretty simple to describe, but it's very difficult to actually put into place.
And that's really the challenge, and that seems to be a common theme that we have with all the guests that we've had here, is that we all know the knowledge, but the challenge here is actually doing it. And to sort of engage a pop culture, there's this song, Walk It Like You Talk It. And it goes on and on about it. And it's just what it is. We keep talking about it, but are we really doing something about it? And I also want to highlight what you have shared in regards to the health, business, and wellness, is that it's everyone's responsibility. And yes, it's not only HCGH or us as a physical therapy practice. And for example, this coming Sunday, June 3rd, with Mr. Brian Joles, that we have that wellness event at
Centennial.
At Centennial. Right. And so us being part of that is that, again, we just continue to go ahead and hammer down and share to everyone of the lifestyle changes. And one more thing that I want to highlight here is that I'm reading this book, Willpower Instinct. And one of the things that's identified there is that there's really a difference of us knowing versus doing. And that's what that book is trying to go ahead and share, of how we can go ahead and be more on the active side of things. But anyway, I don't want to digress as much. But as we move on, as we try to focus more on solutions, so you've identified certain problems, what are your ways to approach these current and future unmet demands and needs in the healthcare field?
I'll focus again here in Howard County.
Yes.
As we recognize that patients come into the hospital for just a small sliver of their overall episode of care, we need to recognize that we need others to partner with us. And in Howard County, we're fortunate to have, I think, the state's most vibrant local health improvement coalition, which you are a member of.
Yes.
And this enables traditional healthcare providers like doctors and hospitals and therapists to come together with social services agencies in the community. And together, we are focusing on the health needs of our community. We on a periodic basis, every couple of years, do a local health needs assessment and begin to identify the things that we need to work collaboratively on. Care for the elderly, access to care, behavioral health, issues like obesity. These are focus areas. And what we do in this setting here in Howard County are put task force together that are led by citizens, volunteers in the community, and we get them to clearly define what the issues are and then put in solutions to those concerns. Some of them are very complex problems like obesity that lead to things like diabetes, but together we're more effective than we could ever be individually. So I think Howard County is well positioned to be an innovator in this space. And we have tremendous leadership under Maura Rossman, the health officer. I know you've had Kelly in here, Kelly Kessler, who heads up the Local Health Improvement Coalition.
Yes.
And I think we're making great strides. And I think what's most meaningful to me, this is a volunteer organization for the most part, except for the staff employed by the health department. And every meeting, we meet quarterly, there's 80 to 100 people who commit the time and effort to understand what's going on and figure out how the organization that they represent can really make a difference in a collaborative way.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's one of the things that every time I go to these meetings, these are individuals who are leaders in their respective fields, and they put, and as you've mentioned, they volunteer and know. And the way I'm understanding this is, no, you don't have to be a leader to be part of this. Every community member is invited to be part of this. Correct?
Correct. People who are interested can contribute. Sometimes it's a networking opportunity for people who are looking for business leads. Other times it's people who are coming in with real frustrations about what's working and what's not working, so that they can convey to the traditional partners what needs to change, so they can act as focus groups as well.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to share with one of the things you said earlier regarding the survey, because I know one of the things is that receiving a phone call, right? And part of that survey to go ahead and gather information in order for the community leaders in the health and wellness field to go ahead and target these things in a more specific way. Right. So, all right, great. What other solutions that you could go ahead and share to our listeners?
Well, the practice of medicine varies by region in the country, and frankly can vary by physician to physician. So one of the things that we want to do to achieve what I described previously as the triple aim is to eliminate variation where there's no value in variation, and to enable variation where there may be value, and to know the difference. I'll give you an example. We're always looking for the best practice in terms of treating a disease such as cancer. And there's research going on across the world all the time. Somehow we've got to get that latest research vetted, understood what is the best practice, and then to deliver it consistency in the right setting for the least cost, but also to enable innovation to continue to occur. And I think as a society, there's too much variation going on right now without, when I would say variation, I mean variation that doesn't demonstrate it provides value. So maybe kind of a technical point for folks to understand, but we need to take the science out of the academic medical centers and deliver it in a consistent basis in the community hospital setting as well as in the outpatient setting.
That it does not only stay with these research labs, but to be able to go ahead and use this and again, more of the evidence-based practice, right, if you may, of what works best efficiently and effectively.
I think hopefully everybody in Howard County knows that Howard County General Hospital is a member of Johns Hopkins Health, Johns Hopkins Medicine, and that is where some of the best science in the world comes from. And we need to make sure that it comes first to Howard County as it comes out of the research labs. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of that right now.
And I'm glad that you brought that up as well, because I know that's one of the more important things to go ahead and share to our listeners, is that, yes, it's part of the Hopkins medical aspect, and yes, no doubt, Hopkins is one of the leaders out there. So for example, one of our physical therapists, he's actually working for Hopkins, and he's been eyeing it because of everything of what Hopkins stand for. So there. All right, great. Thank you. What else can you go ahead and share in terms of, again, working with Howard County residents regarding health and wellness?
Well, I think one of our responsibilities is the traditional episode of care, as we described. The other mission that we are clearly in Howard County is in population health. Again, the partnership with the health department and any other provider in the system. We've dedicated resources in our budget to keep people out of the hospital. And we have something called the Howard Health Partnership, which is a subcommittee of our board that enables us to work effectively to embrace primary care physicians. One of the challenges that you have in the state of Maryland is hospitals in the waiver, which is a waiver from reimbursement from other states. I don't get into the complexities of that right now, but it puts responsibility for the total cost of care for Medicare patients on the shoulders of the hospitals only. So if physicians are paid on a fee-for-service basis and do more, and it isn't warranted variation, then it's not adding value. But hospitals become responsible for that with no authority over that. So the waiver is challenging us to come up with structures and regulations to embrace the rest of the provider community, physicians, skilled nursing facilities, home care agencies, to partner in that episode of care to provide the most appropriate level of care in the least cost setting. And many times that's not the hospital. So we really want to keep you healthy and out of the hospital to reduce the total cost of care for our community. But knowing that that is an impossible reality, that we just want to slow down the rate of utilization of inpatient hospital services. We want to keep people who are beginning to have chronic diseases. We want to identify who they are. We want to partner with them as this chronic disease is just beginning, and to avoid it getting out of control so that they have to be hospitalized. These can be traditional things like asthma or COPD, but they can be compounded by behavioral health issues as well. And once these things begin to spiral out of control, that's when you see so much inpatient utilization. Our goal is to partner with you and other providers in the community on your disease and manage you in a very participatory way.
One of the podcasts that we did is that we talked about comorbidity, and unfortunately, that's what it is. And I think overall, what we're trying to go ahead and promote here with all the guests that's been here and the future guests as well is the importance of prevention. So, for example, when you mentioned about assisted living facilities, so we had guests for the last podcast. One's an occupational therapist, and then the other one is a nurse. And they talked about the importance of that level of care in order not to have a relapse, because indeed it's costly for the organizations and because, again, of the mandate of Medicare specifically. And with that, that's why, again, we need to continue to work together to be able to limit such things. So we've been talking about partnerships and collaboration, and obviously elected officials are going to be part of the picture. And actually, we've already invited County Executive Kittleman to be part of this podcast. And again, unfortunately, because of what happened in Ellicott City, in terms of the date and time, we haven't finalized anything yet. And obviously, in order to be fair for the other person that's running for the same position, Mr. Calvin Ball already identified that he's ready to do a podcast about this. So given that, is there anything that you want to share on how you are partnering or working with our elected officials in Howard County?
Yes. In Howard County, we were very fortunate to have a terrific working relationship with all the elected officials at the county level and really at the state level with all the delegates who come from this area. But specifically, I guess I'd like to reference county government and the work that we've done with Alan Kittleman over the course of the last year. Again, reference the unique reimbursement system in Maryland. I think many of your listeners probably do not know that what hospitals get paid in this state is fixed. And it was based upon, I'm going to simplify this a little bit, but a snapshot that was taken 5 years ago about what hospitals were being paid for the work that they were doing 5 years ago. And it was based on a premise that too many patients were coming into the hospital, and it promoted patients to be now seen in an outpatient setting. And whereas I think that works in some of the counties in the state, it hasn't worked in Howard County because Howard County is disproportionately aging to the rest of the state. It's growing about twice the rate of the rest of the state. And it's not just growing, it's aging. So it, you know, as you age, you tend to utilize more healthcare. So the demographics in Howard County are slightly different than the average demographics in the state. What this created for us is a problem. Excess demand, but you know, you don't get paid for it. Mm-hmm. So if more patients are coming in the same fixed rate you had, you could be in significant financial stress. So we've taken the time over the last 2 years to really explain that to Alan Kittleman, County Executive Kittleman, and his team. And we are very fortunate, and I think you know this as well, that the county is committed to funding $5 million worth of our next renovation project, which is just getting underway, to create more psych beds, to create more observation beds, and to complete renovations in our emergency room. And at the tail end of that, we'll add another 30 inpatient beds. He's also, and this is where he's really been a state leader, he has recognized that much of the work that we need to do going forward isn't going to happen inside the four walls of the hospital, and that there are constraints within the community that have to be addressed in order to create the health delivery system that we need. And specifically, those constraints are in a number of areas, behavioral health and in the number of primary care physicians that we need in the community going forward. We've done projections looking at the growth of the community, the demographics of the community in terms of aging, as well as the ages of the current providers, and discovered that we're going to need somewhere between the 70 and 90 additional primary care physicians in this community over the next 5 years. We don't grow them that quickly. We don't educate them that quickly to come out into the workforce. So we're going to have to think about how we leverage those primary care physicians with other extenders and provide some of those needs. But we have to be able to recruit them as well. So Alan is enabling that with some funding that he's provided. And he's also providing funding to help us leverage social workers and meet some of the behavioral health needs in our community. What that does is give us the possibility to invest in things today that will leverage themselves in the years to come. And Alan has already recognized that this isn't going to be a one-time operational cost investment, but it's something that's going to have to continue to occur on a year-in and year-out basis to meet the needs of our community. So a real tribute to his understanding of a problem and acting to be part of the solution.
And again, that's really important to go ahead and work with one another in that regard. Just to keep things a little bit light right here, to those listeners, when he said about aging population, he really zoomed in at me.
Yeah.
You're one of them.
Maybe so. About 40 years.
So anyway, now you mentioned about behavioral health, and I can easily imagine that, and that's a national and even local issues that we're having here. So for example, with the opioid abuse or epidemic that we're having issues, what can we do to help combat this problem?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned, it's not a Howard County problem alone, and it's a national, probably even international problem. And in some ways, it's not as significant as the problem we have with other substance abuse issues like alcohol, but it is a topic that's getting a lot of attention right now as it really needs to. And I think the important thing to recognize is, again, this is a team effort. Hospitals cannot do it alone, but there's certain things that hospitals can do that they haven't done in the past. And that's really particularly when a patient arrives to the emergency room, that we perform a screen, that we provide either naloxone or prescriptions to naloxone, that we provide referrals to, in essence, trusted sources, people that we know will enable that, and that we provide some peer recovery specialists, people who have been in the shoes of these patients before and can guide them in ways that traditional healthcare providers would find it difficult in terms of really meeting the emotional needs. These are people who've gone through behavioral health problems themselves in the past. So this peer recovery counseling, I think, is really important to helping people take the next step when they get out of the emergency room, find the, you know, in essence, the crisis services in the community, make sure they show up, maybe help them with transportation, counsel them as they're going through, and make sure that they get on a plan that's going to bring them back to recovery. So these are all important things that hospital emergency rooms can do, but it doesn't just stop there. The prevention is the best cure, and so we have to work. It's not a pediatric problem, but it is in the school systems. It's not just a working class problem. It's with the retirees as well. Mm-hmm. So there are groups within our community that can and should be talking about this, trying to see where the problems are, bring it to the attention of the local health improvement coalition, reach out to the faith-based organizations within our community, the social service groups, the Columbia Association, others, YMCA. There's a lot of different groups who can be part of the solution. But first, we have to be comfortable talking about the stigma of substance abuse and recognizing that this is a disease like any other disease and stop separating it. We need to bring traditional care, which we call somatic care, together with the needs of behavioral health patients, and they're not one. You're treating the whole person, and that, in order to understand that in the first place, is the beginning of the right solution.
It's not a light topic, but in order to make it lighter, we bring this out to our daily conversations. And so, for example, we had this softball event with ROSC with ROSC, and I can't exactly remember what it stands for, but that's one of the things that they're trying to go ahead and accomplish, is to have these conversations going in order to go ahead and find ways. And off the air, we were talking about the importance of diversity and inclusion, but unfortunately, being dependent of substances or with opioid, it does not discriminate. And so just going back to what you said, which again, we keep saying over and over, the importance of prevention and not just be dependent on these drugs if that's something that we can afford. And if I could, for example, one of the doctors that we're working with, he identified that I don't want to be known as a pain management doctor, because unfortunately, a lot of people are just calling him to go ahead and prescribe medication without looking at other avenues.
Mm-hmm. And there are other avenues, as you justly know. You're a physical therapist.
Yes.
And a lot of pain management can be controlled with physical medicine, rehabilitation. Some psychological counseling may go in collaboration with that. And, you know, today, emergency room physicians are really on top of that and not over-prescribing opioids, knowing if patients go from one emergency room to the next looking for opioids for their pain management, but also understanding what has happened because of historic practices. Fortunately, those things are improved significantly, even today, and I think that will continue as we learn to identify how to communicate more effectively amongst providers. But there are checks and balances in place today that are very helpful in that capacity.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for bringing that up, that there are other avenues to go ahead and deal with pain, manage with pain. And again, in our clinic, that's why we have these stress management classes, yoga classes, because we understand the value of a more holistic approach with working with individuals and having a change of lifestyle, again, for healthier options for that matter. So any last thoughts that you want to share as we wrap this up, Mr. Snellgrove?
Well, I think we all go through life figuring out where we can make a difference. And healthcare has been challenged by some of the same issues for generations. I think we're at a tipping point because of changes in information communication with technology. How care is provided in the future is going to be very different than how care has been provided in the past. Not everybody needs to come to the hospital. In fact, only a small percentage of the patients with disease really need to be treated in the hospital. The ones that do should get there. We should give them the red carpet experience into the hospital and then create a delightful patient experience. But much more can we be done as we partner with patients and families to identify disease early on and to collaboratively manage it in mostly an outpatient setting. So that is the future of healthcare. I'm very excited about trying to meet society's expectations with the knowledge and technology that we have today. And as I said, it's a team sport, and the team ought to be focused on the goal, and the goal is the patient and really understanding their needs and expectations as well. So thank you for having me today. I really appreciate the opportunity.
No, it's our honor, and we appreciate you being here and sharing exactly what's going on from this huge perspective and how it trickles down to everybody else and how we can continue to work with one another in that regard. So, all right. So to our listeners, thank you again for listening to another edition for our podcast. And for our future sessions, we're actually going to have Howard County Executive Alan Kittleman and also Mr. Calvin Ball, who's also running for that position, to go ahead and discuss what their vision would be regarding health and wellness for Howard County. So feel free to watch out for that. And then we're also going to have our yoga instructor, Ms. Kai, our massage therapist, Ms. Becca, and our physical therapist, Ms. Nina, to talk about functional medicine and the Path to Wellness program and pretty much what we've discussed regarding today's session of the importance of lifestyle changes and that it's not only knowing what to do to have a better health and wellness, but what we need to go ahead and be doing. So thank you again, everyone. And if you have other questions, feel free to touch base with us at 443-979-7171. Thank you.